Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty and the Blonde Bomber. And these tips are really coming in, I'll be honest with you.
I knew you were going to embrace it at some point. It just took a while.
Well, it wasn't tips at first. At first it was full-headed. And now, you know, this latest cut, really, really, the tips are...
I agree. The tips look better with the fade.
Can I be honest with you?
It's nice.
I'll be honest with you guys.
You want to keep it?
I've gone to wash my hands multiple times today just to look at it.
You've gone to wash your hands?
I didn't even pee. I went to the bathroom to look at it.
I just realized it, Tyler, but his tips match his jacket.
And I got a nice little, I had to get with B, the barber, and say, hey, man, what you using in my hair? Because when I leave you, it stays better. Got that grease, man.
You got the right grease?
Got that lock. That lock.
It's a shame it took this long for you to get that grease right,
and
man.
And I got it, and now it's hanging in it. It's hanging in it. Feel it.
It's hard.
It's feeling hard.
It's got the tips hard.
It's got some
just
steak.
The tip.
It's just the tip is hard.
It's called hold.
It's got a little hold. It's got a little hold.
Hey,
that's
interesting. See, he's got
taken to it, baby.
His jacket matches the tips of his hair, and then the roots of his hair and his beard matches glasses. Jacket, tips, side beard, and glasses are all black. That's nice.
It's not a bad spot right now.
Well done, man.
Not gonna lie to you. Courtney
ought to be good to you tonight, man.
We'll see. Have a good time. But also, T. Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T., a.k.a. Moneybags, who we'll hear from him a little bit later, have the latest. The latest is 5 O'Clock Fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And the injury report is out for the Houston Texans, Clint. And listen, I'll just say this. We don't know yet, but it doesn't look great for at least three, maybe even four guys to play, Clint, and that is Will Anderson Jr. Looks like he may be out, not just for this game. He may be out a couple of games. They want to get him right with that high ankle sprain. He has not practiced in 2 weeks. Didn't play last week, hasn't practiced this week. And then there is Foley Fatakasi. He has not practiced this week, and he left the game against the Lions with an injury. He's got a foot. And then also down there, Kamari Lassiter with that concussion. He left the game, didn't return, has not practiced all week. Those three guys, it doesn't look great for. And then, Clint, another one there, backup tackle. And he goes in from either spot. Blake Fisher, the second-round pick, he had a concussion. He was limited in practice on Thursday but did not practice today. So there is kind of a wonder if he rolls through there. In this game, I still think they should handle the Cowboys, but of those which jump out to you kind of the most right now and looking at the injuries there of guys that potentially won't go coming up on Monday night.
Well, look, I think Kamari Lassiter is if I had to pick one that I could snap my fingers and have back in action right now, it would definitely be Kamari Lassiter. The cover defenders on this football team scare the hell out of me, and without him, I don't know that D'Amico is even, I know, as comfortable as he is and confident as he is when we talk to him, I don't know that he's real comfortable with the cover defenders once Kamari Lassiter goes down. So I would snap my fingers and would love to have him back in the mix here. But let's be honest, I mean, for my entertainment value and for my own just enjoyment of the game. I would love to see Will Anderson and him stacked up against Micah Parsons. Both of those guys healthy, and every time, every snap of the game, we get to see one of those two guys do work against an offense. I would love to see them on the field together. Personally, that would be my pick.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. You want to see Kamari Lassiter get as much time and reps as he can get. But I am kind of intrigued to see what Jeff Okudah looks like. And I think,
hell, are we going to see?
I would think so. I mean, he's full practice the last 2 days, so I would think that we see him and see him make his debut. And Clint, I would think he's probably going to start or play the most. I mean, there's D'Angelo Ross that's there.
I hope so. I thought that last week,
but he's still on the practice squad. I know they were running with Kadar Holman, but I would think Jeff Okudah would be the corner opposite of Derek Stingley. By the way, Derek Stingley returned to practice with that hip. That is something that I want. I just want to see what you got with Jeff Okudah in this thing, and I think this is a good game to come back against.
Well,
you know,
it's interesting you say that, Ron, because it's like last week, win, lose, or draw. I know everybody's got a gut punch just like I did. Got the same gut punch I got. But when you look at, I wanted to see the Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs adjustment, right? We saw that. It appears that it's going to be significantly better. I'm not worried about the fact they didn't run the ball as well against Detroit as they did against Indy and some other teams earlier in the year. I'm not as worried about that right there. I think that'll get right as we move forward. John Metchie kind of emerging. Now, it's one of those things with all the injuries, what does John Metchie do, right? Well, when you look at this football game right here, if Kamari Lassiter is out, which we believe he is going to be out, you know, Jeff Okudah, who is Jeff Okudah? If Jeff Okudah goes out there, and let's say defensively he puts on a similar performance that John Metchie did offensively last week, and I know one's young and hadn't done nothing, and Jeff Okuda's long enough to, I get it. But if he just goes out there and contributes and plays well at the corner position, and then we can get real excited about Kamari Lassiter coming back and knowing you got those three true corners that you could go with, I could get real excited about the cover defense. I could go from being really concerned and not knowing what the hell to expect and worried about situational football in a big way with this team to feeling pretty damn good about their cover defenders.
Listen, I'm just going to assume that D'Amico and Matt Burke have felt that Jalen Petrie gives them a better chance covering on the field than D'Angelo Ross and Chris Boyd, because when they've had three receivers to come out there, they have not brought in a third corner. They've allowed it to be either Eric Murray or they've allowed it to be.
They ain't brought in a third corner in desperate, dire situations.
No, they've gone with Eric Murray or Jalen Petrie. And to me, I want to see, all right, now they got Okudah, does that mean that they now have another third corner they feel comfortable with bringing in and they don't put themselves in a situation where either one, Davante Adams ends up with Jalen Petrie in the slot, or they try to compensate for it the next week and they run a zone that is just easy,
right?
You know, for the Detroit Lions to convert big plays. So
yeah, I'm with you, man. I could get. I mean, I'll be honest, look. You start talking about players that have been kind of introduced that weren't originally starters that were more depth or support. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've been excited about any of them. I mean, Fisher's played a little bit, and I mean, I feel like we know what you're going to get out of him. And, you know, you've had to play some obvious receivers with all these guys down, and I'm not real turned on by what we could pretend. Like, Jeff Okudah gets me good and worked up. Like, that could end up being a huge plus for this football team down the stretch.
Yeah. Also, side note, Nico Collins full. It's thought that he's going to go in this game and make his return after missing five. Damian Pierce full today as well. Thought is that he will be able to go.
Another big add. Another big.
You have your backup running back there. So they're getting healthier for the, you know, for the most part in certain areas, but obviously some losses there. So that is the latest there injury wise. We'll know a little bit more of guys that are determined out since they play on Monday. I'm sure that may come out over the next couple of days.
Does Nico Collins and Damian Pierce being healthy, with the exception of Brevin Jordan and obviously Diggs, the offense is whole, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm not talking about Kenyon Green. Like the offense is...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, with the exception of Diggs being, I mean, that's...
Your number two receiver in
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look, Diggs is
But
Diggs,
you know he's going to be out of the year, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't doing anything, and I don't mean there's disrespect for him. I'm not minimizing what he was doing. He wasn't doing anything that you look and you go, man, Tank can't do that. Man, you know, Mechie's never going to bring that to the table. Man, Woods can't. Like, you feel like that is, if Nico's in the game doing work and Mixon's running the rock, you feel like you can get some of that possession receiver stuff over the middle that Diggs was doing. You feel like you can get at least close to that by the guys that are here. Yeah. So, that's the offense shaping up here as we get down the home stretch.
That's it.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Thursday night football last night, the Eagles – they defeat the Washington Commanders and they take control of the NFC East. They win 26-18. This is another prime example of one of those one score games that's not really a one score game. All right, it was with 27 seconds left. It was 26-10, and so all of a sudden they got a score and a 2-point conversion. They had to be replayed for 5 minutes. And now it's a one-score game after they kick an onside kick that nobody even came close to recovering. But this was a huge second half from the Eagles because Washington led at the half. They came right out, got the ball, put more points on the board. They were up 10-3, held them to a field goal in their first possession, and then Saquon Barkley just went off and the Eagles went off. And, like, quietly, under the radar a bit, the Philadelphia Eagles are starting. They've won 6 in a row. They are starting to be there as, you know, at least an NFC contender. I don't know if people are ready to trust that they are Super Bowl contenders. I mean, I think they are, but they are starting to get quietly under the radar, get themselves up at the top of the conference. And I think a lot of people thought the one seed was kind of sold up with Detroit, but they are just a game behind them. And Detroit obviously has that tougher division and teams they got to play.
I like Philly a lot, man. I mean, it's when you look at the way that Jalen Hurts plays the game, he's always in control. I mean, the little stuff that bites some teams in the ass in terms of, like, when he runs to the sideline, it was a third down, he converted a 3rd and 6 like it wasn't nothing. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to get the corner. He gets the corner and goes and converts it with his legs. And then he's getting pushed out of bounds 3 yards short of the sticks, and he reaches out and lays his back of his hand on top of the damn first down marker. I mean, and it's just effortless looking. When you couple that with what Saquon Barkley's doing in the downhill run game, is absolutely ridiculous. You look the first half last night. If you watch like just the first half of that, like, you're uninspired. You're like, yeah, well, come on, this team's talented, but what are we doing here? Brown.
A.J. Brown.
I mean, he killed 2 drives last night in the first half with just like he – Hurts comes to him late on the sideline. All he's going to do is stand on the sideline and catch the football. And for some reason, he backpedals like he's going to catch a go route. He's wide open on the sideline. Well, Jalen throws it where he is, and he backpedals, and it was 3rd and 8, and it would have been a first down. And it's just like when those two get on the same page and those two get the chemistry that you expect them to have, not just in the explosive play game, but all over – They're gonna be nasty.
And we talked about it a bit going into the game. It's that defense, man, and that secondary. They're able. Like, I mean, they got a corner over there. That young kid. You start looking at the players that he's been matched up against that he started to shut down. I don't think Scary Terry had a catch till about the 3rd quarter.
Yeah, yep.
And he kind of shut them down, and it's done that. He did it with Jamar Chase as well with the Bengals. So. They are rolling through here with a team that all of a sudden that has a ton of experience, that has made a Super Bowl run, and I think there's an argument the most talented team in the field. I think when you just say top to bottom, what they can do, offensive line, defensive line, you know, everywhere, they just have talent all over the place.
I still, you know, for some reason, Ron, I just –
Is it Nick Sirianni?
No, it's not. Surprisingly, no.
Not?
I mean, look, we're at a point with Nick Sirianni. I know he rubs folks the wrong way, but we're at a point with Nick where at some point we may have to give Nick a little credit for firing them offensive and defense.
Coming right in, going playoffs, Super Bowl playoffs, and now 8-2.
I was watching Pat McAfee earlier, Ron. There's five coaches that have won over 40 games in their first 60 as a head coach. The other four Hall of Famers are Nick Sirianni. So it's some pretty good company the guy's keeping. But like at some point, I'll be honest, I look down on it. Like, boy, what's this guy doing firing his offensive defense coordinator like that? Like, that's the problem, right? But there's something about guys that see a problem, nip it in the bud, and get move on from it. Instead of letting it, like Jerry Jones up in Dallas, he'll let some. There ain't Mike McCarthy shouldn't be there, man. He should have got fired last year. They should have moved on last year before they paid $60 million to the quarterback. They should have moved on from it a long time ago. There's something about the guy that nips it in the bud and moves on. I know he's not a very likable guy. I don't like the head coach yelling at the fans in the stands either. I don't like what he does. But at the end of the day, at some point, we got to say, hey, man, the Fangio move was big.
Yes.
Right? That was a big move. That's where I was going. The Kellen Moore was clearly a good move and a big move. But I just can't get down with Kellen Moore. I cannot stand. Did you see, again, the first half with the Eagles? They get down there after missing two field goals, and it's third and goal from the whatever, 7-8. They throw it just literally drop, take the snap, turn back, and throw a fade route. Never had a chance. All the dudes you got over there, and you can't come up with something better than just throw a fade. And if you're going to throw a fade route, at least give Brown a chance to go up and get it, threw it out of bounds. Kellen Moore is just. It seems like he would be a great 7-on-7 football coach. I mean, he is overly aggressive all the damn time. And I just, man, I just, every time I watch one of their games, I'm like, that's a wasted down. Maybe I'm being too picky
well,
with it.
But at least he has high level of talent that he's being overly aggressive with.
He's damn sure everywhere he goes, he's got a roster full of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you get overly aggressive with Saquon and A.J. Brown and Smith. And Goddard, who had a big game last night, too. Like, maybe there's something there to that. Before we jump out of here, the Astros, they had three all-MLB selections. As Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, and Framber Valdez were all selected to the all-MLB second team. A good year for those guys. And that goes on top of Altuve winning his seventh Silver Slugger Award earlier this week. Little off season or after the season awards there that the Astros are picking up as they get ready for next season. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud said, and I'll let you hear it for yourself, but he talked about he wants to take big swings. He's got to take big swings. He's got to let it rip. He's got to get out there and do what he's done. We'll let you hear what he's had to say and get your thoughts on that approach. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. East River 9 is still a beautiful, beautiful day. This is my favorite type of weather right here, baby. This is
well, you know, it's your favorite type of weather. There's no doubt about it. I gotta get me some light sleeves. By the way, this is that you need some cool weather gear. Academy Sports and Outdoors is a place to go. But
why not?
That's
where I got mine from.
When I'm golfing, or sitting on the river drinking, or listening to live music. So pretty much anytime. Anytime I'm having a good time. Well, I'm just talking about having a good time. Like the things that make me, that turn me on a bit, right? This time of night right here, when the sun's gone down, or like it's still light out, but the sun's gone down. You can see the moon. Look at that moon over there shining a little bit, right over there.
Yep.
Full moon, by the way.
Oh.
The next 30 minutes are my favorite times of the evening. Of the day, really, be honest with you.
Yeah, when it gets that coming down.
If you're on the golf course right now, the last two holes, how many, because there's a little sense of urgency, how many holes can we get in before it gets dark?
Yeah.
Right? The sun's not beating in your face, and it's just absolutely beautiful.
Drinking, man.
Oh, yeah, that may have a little something to do with it.
That may have something to do with it,
Maybe just a little bit.
But you can come out here, because there is no getting off the course before it gets dark.
They turn the lights on.
Because they turn the lights out on, or turn the lights on for you. So come on out here and have a good time. They turn the lights on the pickleball court, too. So you can enjoy yourself out here as well as we always do on a Football Friday. Coming up a little bit later on, Tyler's best bets, T Mill's best bets, and there's a lot to get to this weekend. A lot of good football happening as well. So let's stay getting ready for that coming up in the next segment. But Clint, I found this interesting. It's kind of been the mark of the day, and really the last couple of days when you look at the Texans and what we're kind of hearing from the Texans. But this is C.J. Stroud kind of talking about maybe his approach from last week and some of the issues they had against the Lions and the approach coming up on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, honestly, I would say you could say three plays, but when you watch the film, it's like 15. And honestly, I would say this. The perspective that I have after a game is just move on. There's no point of harping back, but at the same time, learn from your mistakes. And I was able to do that with, you know, my coaches and my teammates. And I feel like when I play freely and I play with a mindset of it doesn't matter what happens, and that's how, you know, I kind of played in college, was like, and that's what Coach Day used to tell me, swing as hard as you can. And I feel like, you know, maybe I haven't been doing that lately, and I've been kind of like babying throws here, like, you know, trying to just, like, you know, take care of the whole grand scheme of things. And yeah, that's my responsibility, but also swing as hard as I can. And so that's what I plan to do. You know, I don't even know why I even thought like that, but that's my perspective now, is like swing and, you know, knock something out, you know, no matter what it is. But, and I feel like I have that capability through the talent I have, and I also have put it on film time and time again. So I just got to go back and just be myself more and more and more and more and more and more, and believe in myself and swing as hard as I can.
Fellas, is it just me, or is it just a clear focus this week to getting C.J. Stroud back to being whatever C.J. Stroud, whatever it is to C.J. Stroud that they're used to, accustomed to being from? C.J. saying that himself, like taking it back to what he's got to do, like back to his days at Ohio State, to the coaches all around and other players, get back to being, this seems like to be the focus this week, is CJ, get back to being CJ. And maybe he's kind of just been off and not been himself lately. It seems like from the organization, and they're the latest from CJ, that seems to be the focus and the goal this week.
Look, there's no doubt it's the focus and the goal. I mean, this organization
is strong, man.
Well, we've covered them long enough, Ron, to know that, like, when there's a message being communicated to the team, we as media members know it pretty quickly because it's repeated by damn near every player that comes to the mic that meets with the press. It's obviously repeated by D'Amico Ryans. A lot of the times, Nick Caserio will slide a little something in. And there's no question. I think if you listen to all the audio, which obviously everybody out there listening doesn't have time to do that, but if you listen to all the audio that's come out over the last two or three days, there's very consistently, very repetitively, hey, man, we believe in CJ. Hey, man, CJ's playing fine. We need CJ to let it go. We wouldn't be here without CJ. CJ, just be yourself. See, you know, there's a lot.
I got to let it go.
There's a lot of that. So, no, I don't doubt one bit that there is a conscious, coordinated effort by the powers that be over there to say, hey, man, let's make sure our young quarterback isn't taking this one on the chin by himself. Last week, knowing that we had a really good team on the ropes, and he didn't play well, he turned the football over. Let's make sure that he understands and he's in a good spot moving forward for the rest of the season. Don't let the Detroit game snowball and cause our young quarterback to not be himself. But there's definitely a coordinated effort there. What I like about that audio, Ron, what I really like about that audio is, first of all, that's the for the record. When I talk about C.J. Stroud and him putting on a front or whatever, it maybe fake wasn't the right way to say it earlier. To me, that is a very, very authentic look into C.J. You hear like the almost checking up and kind of, not a stutter, but the checking up and trying to figure out exactly how he wants to answer that question and answering it genuinely and sincerely. Like, hell, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't three plays. Hell, it was 15 plays that I got to be better.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that's the part that I really, really love hearing from C.J. Stroud. And just the real raw, hey, man, I got to be better, and it wasn't three times. It was 15 times that I got to be better, and I believe in myself, and I will be better. So I'm a little taken aback by what everybody else has had to say about CJ
it's
Stroud.
It's really coming through from him too, though. He's
well,
echoing
I'm okay. I'm okay with the quarterback. You know, I don't really like in that piece right there talking about like he's trying to talk himself into being confident, but. A young quarterback's going to have those ebbs and flows of when he feels like he's seeing the game clearly and everything's happening really slow, and then all of a sudden things are going to start happening fast. You're going to turn the football over. You're going to lose games. That's a life of a quarterback, right? I'm a little taken aback by D'Amico and Nick, and I mean everybody needing to reassure him. But I really like the tone I heard from D'Amico and the messaging that I heard from CJ right there.
And I want to hear from kind of the people, and Tyler, you kind of speak for the people. Have you felt that CJ in any way is losing confidence? I know he has struggled, and that we've seen the happy feet, but have you felt like it's gotten to a space where CJ, like it appears he's losing confidence, or that it's more than the team is just playing bad? There's some confidence loss.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but the whole time y'all been talking about this CJ Stroud topic, the thing that just keeps circling around in my mind is, man, all year really, all season, when I've been watching these Texans games, I mean, multiple times sometimes in games, the body language, like how Stroud looks coming off the field or on the sideline, it's so much different in my eyes than what we saw during that rookie campaign last year. Like just more head down, more throwing the hands up than we ever saw in that rookie year last year. He seems... And I don't know if that's just frustration or...
That's what I was going to say. Is it confidence? Frustration or
I'm
confidence?
Not sure, but it could be. And I think his body language tells the whole story off and on all season.
Yeah, I can't... I never got lack of confidence. I got lack of... Damn it, I'm pissed off that y'all not allowing me to do what I want to do. Yeah. It just ain't going right. But I didn't get a thought of... Hey man, I got to talk myself into as you just said confidence, and then everybody else too.
I agree. I agree with that. I think that's probably the best I've heard it put. I've never sensed a lack of confidence. I sensed a frustration. I sensed boy, y'all are some bullheaded suckers, man. Whether you're talking about CJ or you're talking about Bobby Slowick and really D'Amico at that point, but I sensed a lot of. Of that, but I never a lack of confidence, man. But what I think we're seeing now is the confidence is in question, the trust is in question. They need this team, they need this game right here in a big way, man.
Text line coming in. I've definitely seen a lot of hesitation and overthinking and throws,
absolutely,
from CJ, and I guess that is a fair thought. Isn't that lacking confidence? That's fair.
No, but it'll lead to a lack of confidence. Yeah. Well, what happens is you stop trusting the protection. It started with the protection, and it somehow evolved into now he's not trusting his own eyes. Because as I said, whether it's the Tank Dell throw on the sideline last week that was almost an interception and should have been a completion that he was late getting to, it's the sack that Shaq Mason gave up and you had Hutchinson open right over the middle of the field, wide open right now. Like, he's starting to second guess, and maybe it's because the pressure's so present in his mind that he's looking at that and it's taking time, but he's starting to miss plays and miss throws because he's either expecting pressure or he's second-guessing his own eyes and what he's reading. Either way it goes, he's got to get back to doing CJ Stroud stuff. Because the dude has the ability to be, like, elite of the elitist in all of the categories that we've talked about.
Real quick, as you said, it's not a lack of confidence, but it can lead to it. What would show you playing the position at a high level like you did? What do you see when you see a quarterback that lacks confidence? Like that moves to like, what are signs that you would see?
Well, I mean that's a big word, man. You know, I mean, lacks confidence is I think the baby in the football and stuff we talked about earlier is really more about lacking like true confidence, like just letting it rip. Like he said, is when I hear him say "let it rip," it doesn't necessarily mean taking shots. It's more about it, just trusting your eyes. And I don't know Ron. I guess what we've seen can be couched to a certain degree as confidence, but but it could get a lot worse.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there's you call it confidence, call it commitment, call it trust, call it, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just he's not 100% blindly trusting whatever he sees, whatever he feels. He's just not there right now, and he's been there for the majority of his career, a short career, but he's been there for the majority of his career as a Texan.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue rolling here on a Football Friday, we will get to T-Mill's best bets, and also, you know, there in this game, there's probably not a ton of strategy, like, or at least matchup points in this game where you're like, hey, man, the Texans got to have this to win the game, because I just think they're a much, much, much better football team than the Cowboys. But if there is one, we'll tell you what that is coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. And it's a good time here. Good time here to be had. And we're having a good time out here at East River 9. And it's always a fun time here. The staff is fantastic. Bartenders are great. The food is great. Drinks are great. It is always a great time out here. And you should come on out. Make yourself some time to get on out here and enjoy this this great feature downtown. Hook people up with prizes as we generally do on Football Friday. So come on out and enjoy yourselves. By the way, before we roll through the rest of the way here, shout out to our promo staff who always does a great job. Andy, our engineer, who kept us on the air as well as on YouTube and Twitch. And also the great staff here as they always take care of us and take care of the great people coming in here to hang out with us, and as well as Tyler holding it down and keeping us going at the station as well. We appreciate everybody who has shared a part of keeping us on the air and getting this thing on the road the last 4 hours. All right, I see that we generally on Fridays we do Mad Dog picks for Mad Dog Monday, but I think we should probably do it Monday, right? Since the game is Monday,
and we got a couple hours, don't we?
We got a few hours.
What do we got? 2 hours?
We got a couple hours, and you know, there's some guys on the injury report. You don't want to make sure that you slip up, Tyler, on that injury report and get screwed in. So let's take care of that on Monday, as we will be live on a. On a game day Monday, you can listen to us, and we'll do our Mad Dog picks there on Monday. So that'll be that. I know many of you are looking forward to us doing that right now, as we normally do at the end of the show on Friday. But we'll do that on Monday, as the Texans will take on the Cowboys Monday night, which you can hear live right here on Sports Radio 610. If there's one matchup, right? There to me, there's a couple of things, right? There's Micah Parsons. You start thinking of the players that could give the Texans problems. You start thinking about Micah Parsons on the defensive side of the ball, and that's with Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. It probably help, which it should be. If the Cowboys are probably smart, they might run him up inside with guards as well.
There ain't no if. They're gonna run him smooth up on Patterson and Juice.
But then,
because Shaq been struggling this year, boy.
Yeah, he has. And then on the other side of the ball, though, it is CeeDee Lamb. And that's the guy that you know, if you think about on the Cowboys offense, it's not Zeke, it's not Dowdle, or it's not as much Ferguson or Tolbert or whoever they have out there. The thought is CeeDee Lamb, the guy they paid in the offseason. And I think for you, Clint, there's a natural thing that makes sense on how to combat him.
Yeah, it's simple, man. If there is ever a game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Houston Texans this year on this schedule, that is a Derek Stingley Jr. shadow game, mirror game, match game, however you want to call it. It's this game. When you look at CeeDee Lamb, the only chance the Cowboys have in this football game, and I'm with you, I'm fairly confident. The only chance they have is if CeeDee Lamb is allowed to run free, roam free, make plays and change the game, particularly early in the first half. Like if they don't have an aggressive plan from jump to take him completely out of the game, then to me that is a missed opportunity by the Texans. That's a missed opportunity by D'Amico Ryans. We saw the Texans. They played two games against the Cleveland Browns last year in 1 month of football, and in one game, they allowed Amari Cooper with the Cleveland Browns to run free. And did he get 200? Did he get 200?
Yeah, in that game.
In that game, he got 200 yards, right? And then the next time, less than a month later in the playoffs, the Texans faced the Cleveland Browns again. And Derek Stingley shadowed Amari Cooper everywhere he went. And Amari Cooper wasn't in the box score. Like, this is that kind of game, the second game against the Browns. This is that kind of game for me, and it's obviously a regular season game. It means less, but the Dallas Cowboys have no chance offensively. There's not a running back. There's not another wide receiver, and I like the Ferguson kid at tight end, but he's not going to win a game for them. The only chance they have is if CeeDee Lamb goes off and is allowed to just roam free and do whatever the hell he wants to, Ron. And so this is a game where Derek Stingley, my best corner that I've matched up on a top-tier receiver in this league before, and it's worked well. I'm going to put Derek Stingley Jr. without a doubt on CeeDee Lamb in critical situations. I'm talking 8 to 10 snaps at the very least. In critical situations, when you play man, there is no way in hell that you should allow Mike McCarthy and Cooper Rush to have opportunities throwing the football down the field or in a quick game. Hell, I don't care where it is. With CeeDee Lamb when he's matched up on D'Angelo Ross or Jalen Petrie or whoever. That cannot happen in critical situations.
I'm with you on that. You don't just want to give Cooper Rush easy outs, especially early. I mean, it's really important early to get his confidence up. I mean, my man threw for 48 yards last week, folks. Like, you don't want to get him going and have easy throws, and the easiest thing he wants to do is get to CeeDee Lamb. Like, this is something that teams have done to the Texans over the last, four-plus years we've been watching this. The Texans should be smothering the Cowboys. Dare them to beat them. Yeah. Dare them to beat them down the field. Take away all the quick little stuff because, I mean, this is a backup quarterback. And he is looking for easy stuff to get comfortable, and I don't think you should let him get comfortable.
You can do what you want between the 20s. You can do what you want when it's not situational football. It's not third down. It's not red zone. You can even let him get his in those situations. But at the very least, Ron, when it comes down to damn sure the fourth quarter if it's a tight ball game, but the end of the first half, critical third downs in the first half, the answer's got to be man. And the answer has to be CeeDee Lamb is going to get Derek Stingley Jr. And if CeeDee Lamb wins, he's going to have to win over your best corner, who you believe is one of the best corners in all of football. And if there's any game out there that matches up, you look at the Jets. I would like to have seen Derek Stingley Jr. on Devontae Adams at the end of that ball game. But you can say, even at that point, even if you do that, the other guy was having a better game anyway. Garrett Wilson was having a better game anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's ways you can look at several opponents this year and go, well, I don't know if it necessarily makes a ton of sense. The quarterback he's not as surgical as some of these guys, so some of your different disguising zones will work, yada, yada, yada. But this is a guy that they're going to move around. He's going to get him touches all over the field in different ways. He's truly the only, by far, the best weapon. No doubt the thermostat in the room of on their offense of can turn it up or not. And this is one of them games where you got to set Derek Stingley on him and say, hey, we're going to take him out of the game as much as we can.
All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access, D'Amico Ryans will be on right off the rip. They're going till 9 o'clock. And then Area 45, Patrick Creighton, I've already seen, and Sean Bajani, they've been here at East River 9. They will take over at 10 until midnight. All right, Tyler, before we get to best bets, you got any money on this fight tonight? Have you slipped any money on this Jake Paul Tyson fight?
Yes.
Really?
I put
where you at?
I put $50 on Tyson to win by either KO or TKO.
He bet on a 60-year-old, man.
Yeah, I know he did.
Oh, the odds are just insane.
I think his last fight, he lost on TKO. I think he, in 2005, that would be the last one. All right, so what's your good luck on that, man. What's your best bets tonight? I don't think that's one of them.
Well, not for tonight, but I figured Football Friday is moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
We should give the people some weekend bets.
Yeah,
and I went with all Sunday action or all NFL action for the weekend. Best bets, I got five real quick. Bengals plus 1.5. They're taking on the Chargers at the Chargers. The Vikings are traveling to the Titans. I got the Vikings minus 6. The Bills are hosting your Chiefs, Ron. I am on the Bills money line. Your Chiefs will lose their first game of the year. Colts Jets over 43.5 points. And Vikings Titans over 39.5 points.
All right, the dreams are out with Tyler. I would say I really like the Bengals one. I'm not a believer yet in the Chargers defense that has been propped up. Not propped up. They played well against their opponents. I'm not a believer in the Chargers defense. I think their backs are against the wall. The Bengals, I think they score a lot in that game. I like that plus 1.5.
I don't know, T. You got any money for me?
He said he got room. Said he got room.
I want that Arkansas, Texas.
Okay. All right. Again, we appreciate everybody coming out and hanging with us.
I want to hear that from all y'all this weekend. Man. Wow, get out there and have you a good time now.
Wow, my goodness. There you go. He's about to get laced up. Happy birthday, Lauren. And get right. Hey. Get right tonight for Clint. Great job, Tyler. Great job.
Get right for Clint, or are you for Clint?
I said get
You're
right.
You're speaking for Clint.
Get it right.
Oh.
I am Ron Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby.
And I know it's going to be.
Shut up.
Shut up.
I'm talking to you, Lance.
Chaos going down.
We're primed on a Football Friday. Get out to
you, Linda.
Go see the fellas at East River 9.
Shut up.
It's a good time.
Linda will be here in about 15 minutes.
There you go. There you go. Oh, man. T-Mill is firing already.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.